My name's Danny Minadict. It's really nice to be here tonight. It's a real honour to get asked to show at the speakers' meeting. It's the second time I've done it. The first time was nearly 8 years ago, so it must have been pretty bad. Because it's been quite a while. But, yeah, it's funny, they used to give you CDs. Do they still do that? Are you sure? Because MP3. Well, what happened is I had this CD of Misher, and you know, like, you put it into your computer and sometimes it just goes straight onto your iPhones and iTunes, and then when you update your iPod or your iPhone, everything goes onto that. So I remember shortly after doing the show, like, being on the bus and I hit shuffle. And it said, yeah, my name's Glenn, I'm an addict. I'm really grateful to be here tonight. And at first I was kind of like, trying to turn it down because I felt quite narcissistic, but I soon got into it. In fact, I could really relate to myself. I was like, yeah, I identify with this guy. His addiction was just like mine, and his recovery is. Yeah, I can really. I'm asking him to sponsor me even. But, but anyway, the worst thing was, I work in an industry and we have studios and stuff, and sometimes when I'm working, I put my iTunes on, and you know, put a mix on while they've got cameramen here and models there and stuff like that. And I remember nipping off once to the gents, and it was a big studio with big speakers and everything, man. And it came out and they'd been listening to the first 5 minutes of my show, which was pretty wild, you know. But yeah, anyway, enough of that. It's really nice to be here, and like Donna said, it was lovely to hear Donna as well. You know, well done for getting here. This weather's horrible. I am grateful to be asked. This place is a night shelter, and you know, I spent a lot of time in places like this before I cleaned up. I had along, you know, parts of my using was spent in homeless shelters, you know, in London, in Liverpool, back up north. I was in under 21s, homeless shelters, stuff like that, for vulnerable young men and people, you know, women, everybody. But my using was pretty, it was like that. It was, you know, if you knew, or you could just come back or whatever, you know, I really remember what it was like to, you know, come to these meetings. I remember, like, to come to a meeting like this and not even wanting to get up to go to the gents because I was so self-conscious, so nervous. I didn't want to stand up, you know, I didn't want to, I couldn't lift a cup of tea up because my hand was shaking that much because I was that nervous. I remember what that feels like, you know. Like what Donna said about smoking, sat in meetings just smoking your head off, you know, like having loads of fags. That was great. I used to love smoking back then, you know. I remember that. And I remember the desperation of addiction and how bad it was. You know, my using was not glamorous. It was spent trying to get like 3 quid together to go on me 2 quid so I could find someone to go halves with to get a 10 bag. You know, that was like my, I'm looking at the microphone, it's really doing me head in. It's like, can you reverse something? I'm looking at it while I'm speaking, it's weird. But I want to look at you lot, you know. Yeah, my using was like that. It was really dark, and I just could not stop. I couldn't stop. I didn't know what was wrong with me. You know, I share about this because I was in and out of detoxes and rehabs and concept houses and on all. I did all that stuff before I found NA, before I found the 12 steps. Yeah, I was in my first. My first detox was in an hospital in Manchester called Prestwich Hospital, and it was an NHS detox, and I'm forever grateful to that place. But I went in on, I think it was like even 16th or 18th birthday or something. I was young, you know what I mean? I went in the age you were allowed to go into that ward, you know, on birthday. My key worker, you know, she was lovely, and the second time I went in, she was my key worker, and the second time I went in, she was the head nurse of like the detox ward, and then the third time I went in, she was the head nurse of the wing of that hospital, and then the last time I went in, she was the head nurse of all the hospital, you know, like as her career went like that, mine was going like that. You know, I was in and out of this place all the time. And I just didn't know about, I just didn't know what was wrong with me. You know, we'd do like, do loads of like rehabs and like concept houses and all that. And we just, no one had like the answer what was, you know, I thought I was a bad person, to be honest. I thought there was something wrong with me. I thought, you know, I was morally deficient. No one told me I was an addict. And even when they did, I wasn't explaining what it meant to be an addict. I just knew I couldn't stop using. And every night it was the same old thing. You know, I had this mad ball of fear behind my stomach. And the only way I could shut it up was getting enough drink or drugs. That was it. And some nights, if I was lucky, I would have I got that. And I went to bed with, you know, having shut it up. But I'd always know it'd be back as soon as I woke up in the morning. And it was every morning I'd wake up and it was there again. And it would just propel me to do stuff, to find ways and means to use. I'd go to doctors and stuff like that, and they say to me, they said, just change the way you think. And like, you know, I don't know if you've ever tried just changing the way you think, but it's really hard. You know what I mean? As soon as they'd say that, I would just think the most crazy thing ever. You know what I mean? I would just like, all this madness would fill my head. And other doctors would say, oh, just get yourself a job and a girlfriend and a nice car. And I was having trouble getting a tenant together, you know what I mean? You know, it was utter madness, man. The advice I got was really bad. It was really poor advice. You know, they say, we'd have group therapy at rehabs and they'd say, look, if you can work out why you used to take drugs, then, you know, you can do something about stopping it. So we'd like look at our childhood and we'd all just talk about our mums, you know what I mean? And this is really bad, she did this, and you know, my mum's terrible, yeah, you know, she said that to me when I was 8, and then I'd be on the phone in the evening and I'd be like, hey, listen, mum, it's cool, I've found out what's wrong with me. Yeah, it's you. Yeah. Can I have a tenner for some trainers, you know what I mean? Like, it's just nuts, man. Like, can you buy me a new pair of trainers? And like, we'd be in these places and they'd like lock you up for 6 months. And because you could get funding back then. I know it's really hard now to get funding. And like, you're lucky if you get 28 days or whatever. But back then, you know, I was in and I hammered that funding, me. You know, I know he's bad, Tony Blair, right? But I swear to God, I got some funding out of that guy when they were in power. Trust me. We'd just stick around for 6 months and argue about who weren't doing the washing up. We'd all get fat, and then we'd leave and relapse. You know, that was the. thing. But the mad thing is, when I was in these places, that the fear kind of went. That ball of fear, even though I didn't know what it was, or I didn't know why it had gone, I just felt safe in there. You know, when someone was telling me what to do, when they had a bit of structure, when the opportunity to use had been kind of a bit removed from me, you know, I didn't feel that fear. But I knew as soon, like the 2 weeks before you were leaving rehab, I knew it would be back. I knew it would be back immediately after I left this place. And what I look back now is like that. Those places were kind of like my higher power, that back then. You know what I mean? I felt safe and secure in there, and they were providing my needs, so I didn't feel like using it. I didn't. That fear had gone. You know. But as soon as I left, it would be back. It would be back on me, and maybe I could like last a few weeks or, you know, a little bit of time, but. You know, very, very soon I was using it again, and my addiction was right back to where it was. It was worse, you know. And I was getting in trouble. I was in a bad way, you know. I was, like I say, it was pretty bad. And I can't remember what it was. I think I was in like a homeless hostel in Liverpool, in Birkenhead, in Merseyside, and this guy he was a worker there, and he said and he was in AA, he was in the other fellowship, and he said he recognised there was something wrong with me, and he said, come with me, I'm going to take this place, you know, we're going to sort this. And I was proper scally, you know what I mean? I was like 18, like just tracking. I'm still, I'm in the tracks, but you know, I was like. You know, I went there, and it was just like, I thought, everyone's just so old, man. Like, really old people, like, praying. What's this about? You know, how is this going to stop me from using? Like, what is going on? And I just didn't listen. You know what? It could have been really good, but I just didn't listen to anything. I just sat there like that. In fact, I sat there like this, right? I sat there like this. Because I'd read somewhere that this was this showed you were confident. You know, like in a self-help book, right? This position meant you were confident. So I sat in this AA meeting like this, like that. You know, and obviously I wasn't in a position to listen to a message that night. So, but I kind of got a bit of a bit of wind of the 12 steps and a bit more of an introduction. And then I remember being in that detox in Manchester and NA coming in, you know, H&I came in and did a meeting for us. And I was in a really serious relationship in that detox. You know, I've known her for about 3 days. And they asked me to read a card out, one of the cards, like it was an addict or something. And I went, my name's Glenn, I'm an addict. And she went, you're not an addict. You've been clean 3 days. Like that, because I've been in this detox, you know. And that night as well, I didn't really hear much of it because I was very self-conscious about this girl, you know, that I was in this really special relationship with. She was from Wigan. I'll never forget her. Can't remember her name. But I'd been out what happened was, right, I'd been out knocking right my way, like knocking on, what I used to do is, like, me and my mate, we used to, because we were really crap at thieving, I was always getting in trouble, always getting nicks and stuff like that. We used to like go the cash and carry and buy loads of pegs and chamois levers and mops and magic dusters and that. And we used to go knocking door to, you know, people that knock on your door with a big bag. I used to do that, right? That was how I got my gear. And that's where it ended up for me. And I was selling pegs, you know, I used to, and that was my gangster using lifestyle, you know. Selling pegs door to door. And so we've been out all day selling pegs and like mops and shit. And he still had some money left, right? He had a bit of money, and I'd spent all mine in the pub, and like, I'd done all mine in. And I was like, oh, what are you doing tonight?
And because I knew he had this dog. And he went, "Oh, have you heard of NA?" And I went, "Yeah. What about it?" And he went, "I've got to get clean. I've got to get off this stuff. I've got to stop. I've got to." It's killing me. I was like, "Yeah, all right. Where's the meeting then?" And he went, "Well, meeting in our town. It was near Quicksave, by the car park." And he said, "There's a meeting by the Quicksave, by the car park, and it starts at 7:30, and I'm going to be there." And I was like, "He's got 50 quid left on him." You know what I mean? And I went that night, and he didn't show up. He never turned up. He never turned up that night, right? And I've never seen him since. I don't know where he's gone. You know what I mean? Do not know where he's gone. But that meeting that night, the guy that was taking the meeting was someone that I'd used with. He was 2 years clean, right? And that was a night I knew I could get it. You know what I mean? That was a night he explained to me what was going on. That was a night I heard the message of NA, and I was given like a bit of hope. You know, and I didn't, you know, it wasn't clean from then on. This guy took me under his wing, and he took me to loads of meetings all around Greater Manchester, Stockport, Wigan, Rochdale, Oldham. You know, I saw the world, man. You know, it was amazing, this guy, man. He just, you know, and joking. I did a lot of meetings, and he really helped me out, and I'm forever grateful to him, and he's still sober, and you know what, he's clean, and his dad's sober in the other fellowship too, and it's a beautiful family. And you know, like I say, I ended up down there. I was in the hostel, my cousin brought me down, I robbed him, I ended up on the streets, I was still doing meetings because I knew this is where I wanted it. And I ended up in a rehab in Bournemouth, and it was a 12-step rehab, and they took me to a meeting every night, and they taught me about the steps. The group we still did all that group therapy. Yeah, my cat died when I was 7, and couldn't get over it. You know, we still did all that. You know, and even today, like, I know a bit of therapies. You know, I joke about it, I do see the value of therapy. I'm not like slagging it off. You know, but you know, I get treatment from my addiction, the illness of addiction, through the 12 steps, and then the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. This is where I come. This is where I've always come. You know, and I remember like the first few weeks. No, the first week actually it was. I remember this telling them about this fear that I had, this ball of fear, somewhere behind the back of my stomach. You know, I was telling a counsellor or someone in there, and he said, "Why don't you pray to have it removed? Why don't you pray to have your obsession removed?" And I thought, yeah, that sounds easy. Praying, you know, that sounds pretty. And I didn't have a problem with God. I didn't really think about God when I was using that. I think, you know, I hear a lot of people have issues with God or higher power and that. When I was using, I was more concerned about getting the tenants together. You know what I mean? I wasn't really thinking about like the concept of the universe or, you know, the heavens or whatever. You know, I was like more concerned with earthly matters, you know. I don't know why we clean up and all suddenly we're like, you know, Stephen Hawking or whatever, you know, we're trying to like, I'm against that. I don't get it. Anyway, that was me. That's just me. I'm judging. But yeah, so he went, "Why don't you pray to have this obsession removed?" So I did. I went to bed that night. Made sure the door was locked and all that, you know what I mean? Might have gone in the toilet, just locked the door and done it in there. But I prayed and I prayed the next night. And you know what? Sometime during that few weeks, I woke up one morning and the obsession to use had been removed from me. And it had gone, you know, and that was like nearly 15 years ago now, you know, and it's never come back. So whatever it is about God or higher power in that, I just pray to the thing that removed my obsession to use. And I have faith in that because it's never let me down. And there was more miracles, you know, I went through that place. We did a meeting every night. We did a few steps. I didn't want to do them in there because I knew that when I got out, I'd have to do the serious stuff.
And I got a sponsor when I got out. He was from Manchester, actually. He was good. I needed someone I could relate to. It was full of like Bournemouth, full of people from London. No offence, but you know, I couldn't really, you know, there were a lot of Essex boys in that. Oh, what, mate, you need the steps, mate, and all that. You know what I mean? And I just needed, someone I could relate to. I'm far more open-minded now. But he was amazing. You know, he took me through the steps. You know, and I really trusted that man. And he taught me one thing. He said, my step one, you know, if I put anything before my recovery, I'm going to use again. That's my step one. You know, in treatment, I got told my step one was when I pick up, I don't know when I'm going to stop. And that's, for me, that's the result of not having a step one. You know, my step one is I'm an addict. When I come here and I put my hand up and go, my name's Glenn, I'm an addict, I'm saying I will use again. I'm guaranteed to use again. I am, of myself, here and now. I will use again without this program. You know, that is my step one. You know, without this, I'm going to go back out there eventually. You know, he taught me that, and that was, you know, and we went through the rest of the steps. I did a step four, did a step five. You know, it was down in Bournemouth, man, and all my mates, they had this sponsor who used to go to a different fellowship that we were at war with at NA. You know what I mean? We didn't like this other fellowship. They were like, they used to slag us off, and they thought they were better than us. And all my mates had this sponsor, yeah, who went to that one. And they were all like, they were doing the step fives, and he was taking them down to the cliff tops in Bournemouth by the sea, and they were reading the step five out to the sea, to the waves. And I thought, wow, that sounds mega. I want to do that. And so I did my step four and all that. And I went, oh, Paul, I've done it. I've done my step four. Can I come down and do my step five? And he went, yeah, come down. Come down Sunday. We'll do it in my kitchen. And I was like, you what? I was like, yeah, come down. We'll do it in my kitchen. And he said, are we not going down to the cliff tops to do it to the waves? And he went, what are you going on about? Someone might see us. You know, and I learned, like, you know, that you know, we can put frothy emotion into this and stuff like that, but you know, the steps to me is a practical way to live. You know, I do the steps the way my sponsor tells me. I do them as best as I can, and it's not about creating magic. You know, it's a practical way to live, and that's what I need. I need someone to just tell me how to do it. And to deal with the illness that I've got, it's a practical solution to an illness that I happen to have, and you know, and that's been my recovery. You know, I still come back. You know, I still get involved. I've been around for a bit now, and a lot of things have happened to me in recovery. I've become a dad. Become a husband, and I've a lot of life stuff. I've got a career and things that I'd just never dreamed of having. You know, things that, you know, of myself, it wasn't down for me, this sort of life. You know, it wasn't down for me to live in London and all that. You know, a lot of my mates, they're all still back home on the same estates they grew up on. Without this hope and without this message, you know, the town that I'm from, there was one meeting a week, you know. And I used to be gutted. I used to think, like, oh, I wish I could go back and take it back, you know, take recovery back up there and that. And I used to, my mate, the same guy that got me in, you know, that introduced me, gave me that hope that time, I used to ring him all the time and say, have any of my mates come in? You know, have any of my mates come in? And, you know, one day he said, yeah, do you know that called AD? And he was from the other side of the estate than me, and we used to war, we used to fight with him, you know what I mean? But I still wanted him to have what I've got. And he kind of went missing. Like, he tried the rooms out with me, and he didn't come back for a bit. And I used to pray for him every night. I used to be like, oh, come on,
you know, and I forgot about him. You know, like Facebook and that, I do a bit of stalking, you know what I mean? I'd have a look. Yeah, all right. I wasn't on his friend. We weren't mates. We used to, like, not be friends, you know what I mean? But because he was from where I'm from, I wanted him to have what I got, what I wanted. And one day, it said, it was his dad, he said, his dad posted something on his page, and he said, oh, just tell us you're all right. Let me know you're all right. Please tell us you're all right. And that night I went to bed, right, and I said, God, please let him be all right, wherever he is. The next day I went to a meeting and he was stood outside it, like in Bournemouth. You know what I mean? This is like 200 odd miles away from where I'm from. He was stood outside the meeting that I was doing the share at that night, you know. You know, yeah, it's just an amazing, crazy thing that happened. You know, and I took that lad through the steps and he moved back. He moved back home and he started a meeting on our estate that I'm from. Past a church, like in a church that I used to walk past every day to go and shoplift in town, and I used to walk back every day to go and score around the corner from it on my estate. He started a meeting there, and it's still going now. You know, it's like, you know, it's been going like 5 or 6 years. It's beautiful to me, you know. There's miracles that happen here. You know, we have to be open-minded to it, and we have to get involved, and we have to keep coming back. You know, I've had bad things that have happened. I've lost relatives. I've lost my mum. I lost my mum when I was like four years in or something. She got cancer and that. She passed away. And like Donna said, actually, right at the start of your show, you said, we can see the big things coming. We can see that. I was prepared for that. I could see that. And I used to come to meetings and I used to bawl my eyes out and I used to shout and get angry and like judge me, like, you know, he's doing that, but why is his mum not dying and mine is, and I'm doing everything. You know, I used to, you know, do all that and be a bit of a dick in meetings during while it was happening. And NA allowed me to be like that. It allowed me to come here and own that and express myself and come here and be looked after and be cared for. And as a result, I stayed clean through it. You know, I remain clean. You know, but like you said, Donna, it's the build-up of the little things. You know, it's the build-up of the little insidious stuff I tell myself. And I tell myself some right shit. You know what I mean? My head. You know, because you know when that was happening with my mum, right? You know what my head was telling me? I mean, this girl come up to me, she said, you know what I like about you, Glenn? You've no self-pity. I went, yes, thanks. And my head was saying, right? My head was like, oh yeah, you know, girls will find me more attractive now because I'm a lost soul because I've lost my mum. Like I'm the only guy in the world to lose, like, you know what I mean? Like the first guy in the world to lose a parent. And my head was, that's my, the little bits of my head that tells me the stuff that, I build up of that in my, if I don't recognise it, it's going to take me out. So build up of the little bits of my ego, the thing, the little voice that tells me I'm this, I'm better than that, I'm better than you, I'm less than you, that separates me from you guys, separates me from the fellowship, separates me from anything good. You know, it tells me that I'm different. You know, that eventually it tells me I'm so different, I've pushed myself away from all of you, from my own behaviour, clean and sober. You know, I can ruin my life just as easily clean as I was when I was using, just off my own behaviour, if I allow this illness to manifest itself in the way I act, the way I communicate, the way I am with yous. You know, I can do that. You know, I have pushed people away in recovery. I've had more amends to make in recovery than I had when I was using. You know, just off my behaviour from not doing this. So what I've got to do is keep plugging back in. I've got to keep coming back. I've got to keep owning my madness in my head. I've got to keep... 5 minutes. You know whenever anyone does that, I just dry up immediately. Just don't tell me. Just tell me when it's done. All right? Just tell me when it's over and I'll just go, right, that's it. Because as soon as someone does that, I'm like, oh, shit, I've got to fit... Anyway, but yeah, it separates me from all you lot. You know what I mean? It stops that. You know, and I've had times in recovery, you know, when my behaviour has been bad, you know, and I've You know, I've not been the shining example of recovery you see before you today. You know, I've had it when, like, you know, I have been, I've done dishonest behaviour. I've allowed to act out on my illness and my addiction, and I've got to keep coming back here, and I've got to keep plugging back into that step one. You know, I've got to keep putting this recovery first. I've got to, you know, I've got to wash the cups after the meeting. I've got to do that. You want to get plugged in. If you knew, get a commitment. This is the sort of stuff I was told right at the start. Get a commitment. You know, get an own group. This used to be my own group. You remember when this was my own group? You know, this used to be my own group. you know, I've got to do that. I've got to get humble. Or else I'll be humiliated. You know, my ego will just go so much that I lose everything. I'll just be made to look like a dickhead or something. Something will happen, and I'll have done something, and someone will go, caught you, and then that'll be it. And I'll just, you know, I'll be humiliated. You know, so I have to remain humble, and I've got to keep plugging back in and doing that. You know, it's really nice to be here, and it's nice to, you know, to give back and show some gratitude. This fellowship really does work. The program works, the NA works, the steps work. The steps have changed my life. I really did not think I could live without drugs. You know, I couldn't live before I had drugs. You know, I needed drugs to live because, you know, my illness was there then, you know what I mean? But I couldn't carry on the way I was doing it, so I needed this program. And it's allowed me to have a life beyond my wildest imagination. And I'll leave it there, thanks.